It's happening.
Yeah, but it's not hurting my back, so that's the difference. So I'm 100%, man. I'm ready to go. How are you?
I'm doing very well. The St. Louis Blues, they're kind of in San Jose Shark territory where everyone's like, yeah, we expect them to be a playoff team. They'll be a playoff team. Can they win in the playoffs? Have they improved their team? How will they be different this year from last year?
Well, we're going to find out, because when you talk about improving the team, you're certainly not talking about regular season success. I mean, who's had more regular season success than the Blues over the course of the last several years, right? I mean, they're right up there. I mean, Pittsburgh is up there as well. You think about some of the other teams in the Western Conference and, you know, out east as well. I mean, St. Louis has been a top five team in the National Hockey League over the course of a long stretch. So, you know, we said this, I think, last year heading into the season, Jason, that it was all about the postseason. That hasn't changed entering this year at all. And it's about getting it done when it matters, which is in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Blues haven't been able to do that. Is this year going to be any different? I mean, that's pretty difficult to, you know, predict, to be honest with you, because I thought going into last season and the year before that that they were going to be able to find their way deep into the Western Conference playoffs, and they haven't been able to get out of the first round. So I think it's a wait-and-see approach, to be honest with you. We'll see what happens come springtime.
Will Paul Stastny be used more this year by the Blues?
Well, he is going to be, for sure. And if you go back and look at last year, I know everyone talks about him being a third-line center. I mean, this guy had some opportunity as well to play with, you know, in a top-six role or with some elite players. I mean, everybody plays with everybody under Ken Hitchcock. You know, you don't see a whole lot of line combinations that stay together and that don't interchange with one another, you know, throughout the course of the season. It's probably no different there in Edmonton or anywhere else in the National Hockey League. We see so many different, you know, line combinations. So the bottom line is he's going to get the opportunity to kick off the season, you know, playing with Alexander Steen and Vladimir Tarasenko, the Blues' two best players on the roster. Steen and Tarasenko, they're the two best players. Certainly the two best forwards. So Stastny is going to be in the middle of, you know, with those two. And he's going to get a chance to play with them again tonight in the second preseason game. So, you know, establishing chemistry with those two players. I thought Steen and Tarasenko specifically were exceptional in the first preseason game. And they have some experience playing with one another last year. But, you know, Alex Steen is one of those guys who, you know, when another line isn't going well, Ken Hitchcock likes to move him around to get another line going. He did that last year with Oshie and Backen. And the three of those players, I think from around Christmas time until the middle of February, were the highest producing line in the National Hockey League. I mean, they were unreal. So you want to see some instant chemistry with these three, and you hope that they're able to play well enough to stick together. Because then all of a sudden you get to the depth of this Blues hockey club offensively, and you look at a guy like David Backes, he's moving over to the wing. We'll see if he shifts back into the middle, but right now that's Jaden Schwartz's position. And, you know, I was telling somebody the other day that if I were to go on the ice with the St. Louis Blues, having no idea who anybody was, and I saw Jaden Schwartz standing there, I would think that he was a centerman. He looks like a centerman. When you watch him skate, you watch him play. He plays like a centerman, so he looks pretty comfortable in the middle. And, you know, a guy like Dmitry Yastin, who a lot of people don't know a whole lot about, he came on strong at the end of last season and the regular season. He'll probably get that first crack as, you know, a top-six left winger. And then you get Yuri Laterra and Troy Brower, who came over in the Oshie deal, and a first-round pick like Robbie Fabry, who should stick and make the roster, most likely going to begin on the third line, and we'll see what the fourth line looks like. So, you know, that's where it looks like heading into the season, at least for me, offensively. There's still some players competing for spots at the bottom of the roster in terms of the extra two forwards you're going to hang on to and again, what that fourth line is going to look like. But the Blues should be able to score goals. That's the bottom line. And they should be able to play strong enough defense to keep the puck out of the net. It's about winning in the playoffs, and winning in the playoffs, in my opinion, is a mentality. You either have it or you don't. You have to be able to show that you have it and bring it every single night in the postseason, and that's going to be the challenge for St. Louis.
Andy Strickland joins us out of St. Louis. You mentioned Oshie, of course. He has gone in the trade. Brower comes in. They also brought in Kyle Brodziak. Where do you see those two fitting in?
Well, Brodziak's going to be your fourth line center, and Ryan Reeves is going to be on that line. The big question is Steve Ott going to, you know, solidify, you know, his spot on the fourth line as the left winger, you know, with that group. You know, that's where you've got guys like Ty Ratty who are trying to make this roster, even though he's not a fourth line player. But again, where does he fit in? Magnus Pearby, is he going to make this roster? You know, I mentioned Robbie Fabry. You know, at the end of the day, he's still competing for a spot. The only option, if he doesn't make the team, is to send him back to junior. And I don't think the Blues are all too excited about that option. So I would expect him to make the team, at least out of the gate, and we'll see where it goes. You know, you've got Scotty Upshaw, who's here on a PTO. You've got Scott Gomez, who's here on a PTO. Both of those players are going to have to show better than what we've seen thus far. We're going to get a chance to see Gomez play tonight, so I'm looking forward to that. But both guys are veteran players. So, again, will they be here? I mean, it's tough to say right now. You know, Gomez is interesting. I just mentioned who the top four centers are, okay? He doesn't factor into that role for me as a top four center or a top two-line center, which is where he'd probably need to be to make this roster. Would they keep him around for some depth? You know, listen, he can make plays. He slows the game down. Obviously would be an asset on the power play. We know about his playmaking ability. But can he play the way the Blues need him to play? I think that's the biggest question for the St. Louis Blues coaching staff right now when evaluating Scott Gomez, is can he play for the Blues? Not just play in the National Hockey League, but can he play the way the Blues need him to play? And so far, there's a big question mark in terms of getting that answer.
Scotty Upshaw, can he play the way the Blues play?
Well, you know, talking to people with the organization today, they've liked him in the inter-squad scrimmages, during the drills, and also in the practices. They would have liked to see more from him in his first preseason game. He played the other night in the split squad affair. He was part of the group that lost in Columbus. He's not going to play tonight, but he'll likely play Saturday in Chicago. Listen, he brings speed. They want to see tenacity. You know, if he makes this team, he's most likely going to be a third or fourth line player. I thought he had the edge over Gomez coming into camp because of that flexibility in his game, the fact that he can be a bottom two line player where Gomez can't. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe that would give him the edge. I still feel that way when comparing both of those players head to head. But at the end of the day, they do want to see more from Scotty Upshaw, and he still has time. You know, you talk to veteran coaches. Typically, and again, we're talking about one preseason game for a guy who's played almost 600 games in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
You can't just read into everything about one preseason game. Typically, veteran coaches, you know, start to truly evaluate veteran players once you get to that third preseason game, when we start to see, you know, these rosters start to resemble NHL rosters. You know, you're not going up against junior players and American League players. A lot of those guys get sent back by that time. So I'm sure that's the case for a guy like Upshaw. They'll start to really dig into him. Not that they're not watching or evaluating him now, because they are, but the real evaluation will come deeper into the preseason.
Andy Strickland joins us out of St. Louis. Andy, on the back end, of course, they got the big three in, of course, Petrangelo, Bomeister, and Shattenkirk. Then, you know, Gunnarsson, I'm guessing, is in the top four. You've got Bortuzzo, Butler, and Andre Benoit, who had a decent time in Colorado a few seasons ago. How do you feel, you know, their depth past the top three is in St. Louis on the back end?
Well, I mean, a lot of the depth are players people have no idea who they are because they're recent draft picks, but they're really good hockey players, and they're ready to play in the National Hockey League right now. I mean, Petteri Lindbom, for me, is the number five right now, and he played some games in the NHL last year. He's a former sixth-round pick out of Finland, and I don't see how he doesn't make this roster. Joel Edmondson, who's from out west up there in Canada. I mean, here's a guy who you know, a former second-round pick who, you know, got out of the game slow last year because of a herniated disc in his back. So he was limited. I think he played 30 games last year. But this kid's a really, really good hockey player, again. And then you talk about Colton Parayko, who's from out west. Nobody knew who he was. He's from Edmonton. You guys, neck of the woods up there. He went and played his college hockey in Alaska. And this kid is, I mean, you'll know who he is very soon. He's about 6'6". He's 235 pounds easily, 5% body fat, shoots the puck as hard as really anybody I've seen. I'm not going to sit here and compare him to guys like Al MacInnis and whatever, because I'm not so sure he's able to put himself in position to get the shot off the way those guys could. But the guy, you know, packs some serious heat. They love him. He's going to be a real difficult player to cut. I think they'll be realistic, though, if they have to, that it'll be good to get him some games. They're not going to keep these young kids up here to be the seventh defenseman and have them watch from the press box. But, you know, at this time next year, all three of those kids are making the team. So the big question mark is going to be a guy like Gunnarsson. Can Butler hang on to that seventh spot on defense? Where's Bertuzzo going to be? He's been dealing with some injuries going back to last year in the playoffs and then now in training camp. You know, where is he going to be and where is his game going to be when the regular season gets underway? Those are question marks right now, but you've got some, not just young kids, but some young, legitimate talent knocking on the door looking to steal a job.
And, yeah, you know, the Blues, I think it's obvious. We all know they're making the playoffs. Whether they finish first or second, you know, that's I don't know if that matters very much. It's can they have success? Ken Hitchcock has a one-year deal. I think everybody realizes that, you know, if there's not success in St. Louis this season in the postseason, that there's likely going to be some changes.
Well, probably so. I would. I think most people would certainly agree with that.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I don't think it matters where they finish in the playoffs. Because, you know, the L.A. Kings finished eighth in the Western Conference a few years back, and they win the Stanley Cup. The Blues win the division last year, and they're out in the first round. It may do them some good, to be honest with you, to finish with less points, maybe not grind as much as they have in recent years, day in and day out. Not even game in and game out, but day in and day out. And if you lose a couple of games in December or January, whatever, you know, life goes on. The sun's going to come out tomorrow, and you're going to be okay. It's about getting in. And taking your chances once you get in. You love to have home ice advantage, I get that. But you just want to get to the playoffs. And I think the mentality from that standpoint will probably change a little bit. I think they're still going to try to win every game they play, obviously. But, you know, if they don't win the division and they still get into the playoffs, I don't think it's going to affect how they feel about this hockey club in terms of the confidence that they take with them into the playoffs. But it comes down to getting it done. And I almost wish the playoffs started October 9th as opposed to the regular season. But I'm looking forward to seeing Connor McDavid play his first ever regular season NHL game in person here in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's good for you guys. One quick one, the Rams, are they moving?
Most likely. You yeah. know, I mean, who knows how that's going to play out, you know, but there's no reason to assume that they're going to stay. I know there's a committee here in town that's, you know, made some headlines because, you know, it's a stadium task force. They're trying to build a new stadium here. If they're not building that stadium without $450 million from the NFL, and unless there's going to be a team that's here that's going to play in the stadium. So, you know, Stan Kroenke, the owner of the St. Louis Rams, wants to be in Los Angeles. We know that for a fact, that he wants to be in L.A. next year. That's where he wants to take the team. How the other owners around the National Hockey League or National Football League feel about that, that's what remains to be seen. He's got to get 24 votes from the other owners to approve a move out west to Los Angeles. And there's a decent amount of teams out there that aren't, you know, huge fans of Stan Kroenke. So as much as it seems like a slam dunk, he still needs to get those 24 votes. And that's going to be the big question. Can he get the support from the other owners?
Andy, always good to talk hockey and a little football with you. Have a great one, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
We can talk football anytime, man. Anytime. I love talking some football. So, all right, we'll talk to you again, Jason.
You betcha.